begin the current daf masechta tanya daf yadal. It begins 17 lines down from the top of the yamid, where the gemara continues the discussion of the main idea of this parak and this masechta, the halachas of a tanya of a fast day. So the gemara opens up with three different brises. Tan nechada, we learn one brisa, the ubrais v'minikis, regarding pregnant and nursing women, misanis b'rishainis, they fast by the first fast, v'emisanis b'achrenis, but they don't fast in the later fast. And as we had explained in the previous Mishnah, is that there were three groups of fasts. There was the first three, the middle three, and the last seven. So the first brisa is telling us that the pregnant and nursing women, they fast by the first ones, but not by the last ones. Yet v'tani idach v'lo in the second brisa, misanis b'achrenis, no, they fast by the last ones, v'emisanis b'rishainis, but they don't fast by the first ones. But yet v'tani idach v'lo in yet a third brisa, that emisanis, no, they don't fast, loy b'rishainis v'loy b'achrenis, not by the first ones, and not by the last ones. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi says, nokoit em tziyasa b'yotcha, you should take and assess that, we're talking about the middle fast, the mitartzen l'kula, which that resolves all three brises. And that is what Ravashi's answering is that, it's the middle three fasts that the pregnant nursing women fast. And through that, one can resolve all the three brises. That is the brise that says that they fast the first fast and not the last fast. The first ones didn't mean literally the first set of three. Rather, it meant the middle ones, because they're the first to, in contrast to the last ones. But regarding the last seven fasts, they don't fast, because since they're seven, so pregnant nursing women wouldn't be able to have such a long-standing thread of fasts. Regarding the other brisa, it says, no, they actually fast the last ones, not the first ones. The reference to the last ones, well, it wasn't the last ones either. Rather, it was a reference to the middle ones, which are the last of the first set of three. And the first set of three, they do not fast, because since that's not so much anger yet, so to speak, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's just the first rains that didn't come yet. It's only the first set of fasts. So therefore, the women don't have to fast yet that are pregnant and nursing. But however, again, they're really a reference to the same thing, and that's also the third brisa that says they don't fast neither the first ones nor the last ones. That's correct. The Rishainis and the Achrenis, they don't. It's only the Emtzeiros that they do. It's just that the terminology is interchangeable of Rishainis and Achrenis, depending on the context, what it's comparing it to. If it's comparing it to the first ones, then the middle ones would be the Achrenis. If it's comparing it to the last ones, then the middle ones would be the Rishainis. But ultimately, all the brises hold the same halacha, that it's only the middle fast that the women fast. The first ones are not that much anger yet to the world. And the last ones are too much for them to fast. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, Ma'elu Yiseir Salu Rishainis. So we said that there's three different groups of the fasting, three, three, and seven. So what do the last seven fasts have more stringent halacha than the first ones? Ela Shebe'elu Masrin, the difference is then the last fast, they scream out, and they close up the shops, close up the stores. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Ma'elu Masrin, with what exactly did they scream out? What does that term mean, that the last fast had more stringent than the first fast? So Rabbi Huda, he says it's a reference b'shefaras. It means with shefaras, which means to say that they would make these screaming out, which is a term of trua, which is that's what the hasra means, that they would blow the shefar. That's what they would do in the last set of fast. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei derav. He says no. What it means is ba'anenu. It means say with a special tefillah that they would scream out. They would scream out, which we say at the end of our slichas, anenu. Elikei Avram Einenu, answer us, the God of Avram, answer us, Elikei Yitzchak Einenu, and Elikei Yaakov Einenu, and so on. And as Rashi explains, this obviously is not a reference to the Einenu we say by every fast, because that you say even by the first set of fasts, and not just by the last set of sevens. And even the individual says it in his Bracha of Shemaya Tefila. Now, the reason why this Mandama holds that the term of Masrin is a reference to Tefila, to the Tefila of Einenu, which is a special Tefila, it said only by the last set of fasts, is because had it meant with Shefaris, which is a term of true, it should have said Marian, not Masrian. In fact, it says Masrian, it's a reference to a Lashon of Tefillah, and not a Lashon of Trua, of blowing the Shefar. Now, the Gemara says that Kasal Kedaitach, the Gemara had originally assumed that this was a Machlaikis regarding how we define Masrian, and that is Manda Amar Banein, the one who defined that what we do in the last set of fasts when we're masri and when we scream out, that's a reference to Anenu, the special tefillah. Layama b'shefaris. He didn't hold that we are masri and b'shefaris. We don't blow the shefar, just like we don't blow in the first set of fasts. Whereas Amanda b'shefaris, the one who said that masri means to say that we blow a shefar, layama b'anenu, he doesn't consider masri for the last set of fasts to say a special tefillah b'anenu. For that, the last set of fasts is no different than the first set of fasts. But that the Gemara asks about time we learn the Braisa that says, "In peichsin mishevet tainis al tzibur." We do not make less than seven fasts for the last set of the fast. As we said, there's three, three, and then seven. Shebehen Yud Ches Esra is that in these last seven fasts, in the last set, there are 18 hasrois, which means to say, because since we add on six more brachas in the Shemayna Esrei, from 18, which is Shemayna Esrei, until 24, which they have 24 brachas in the last set of fasts. Now, each one of these brachas have three truas for them. So 6 times 3 is 18. Now, v'simo davar, a sign to remember, not to make a mistake, what does this masriyin mean with these hasrois? Does it mean trua of a shayfer, or does it mean a lashon of trila? Is Yerichai, Jericho, what they did when they were taking over the city of Yerichai, that will recall to you what does the Hasrois mean. Now, as the Gemara explains, if Yerichai Shefaras Hava, the way they took over Yerichai, they were blowing on the Shefer. Now, therefore, V'tiv T'lamandam V'aneinu, this refutes the one who says that the last set of fasts, what we're Masrin, is with saying the special Tevilah V'aneinu, where we see clearly from this Braisa, that by the last set of fasts, the Hasrois, well, what they did by Yerichai, which was blowing the shayfer. So you see, Masrin, the shayfer now with the special tefillah b'neinu. So El Rather, so the Gemara says that you're right. B'shayfar is to kulam alei pligi, the karol hasra. No one is arguing. Even the one who says it's the tefillah of aneinu, everyone agrees that regarding our Mishnah, where it says Masrin, what we do by the last set of the seven fasts, it means with a shayfer. Ki pligi there, machleikus was regarding when we say in general that we're Masrin, regarding other punishments that come to the world. That's where they have the machlekes regarding ba'aneinu. Would that mean aneinu or not? That is, mar sava kar lahasra. There's one mandama that holds that generally when we say masrin, it does mean a reference to this tefillah of aneinu. But the other mandama holds that no, that's not called masrin. Just like in our Mishnah regarding the Tainis Sibur, the last sets, masrin means blowing the shayfer. So too, in general, whenever we say that we're masrin, that we scream out regarding the punishments that are coming to the Jewish people, it means with the shayfer and not with tefillah of aneinu. So you're right. So although the Braisa says clearly, like Yerichai, it's with shayfer, that's a reference to the Tainis Sibur. But the mandama who holds is aneinu means, but in general, the masrin could mean the tefillah of aneinu. Now, so the Gemara explains. Lamandam about Aneinu, according to the one that says it means Aneinu, the special tefillah of Aneinu, Leki Avram Aneinu. So Koshkin B'Shefaris, you're right, all the more so for sure, when we're screaming out, it would definitely mean with a Shefer. But Lamandam B'Shefaris, the one who says it's with a Shefer, Avob Aneinu Loi, that wouldn't qualify for Masrin if the halacha requires that we scream out. It has to be just with a Shefer and not with the tefillah of Aneinu. So that's how the Gemara resolved that opinion regarding this machlekes. Does it mean with the Shefer or does it mean with the tefillah of Aneinu? That whoever it is that says Aneinu agrees that also with a Shefer is included in Masrit. But the Gemara has about time, but learning the Braisa seems to contradict the opinion that says that Aneinu could qualify as Masrit. Because the Braisa says, V'shar kol min peronius ha-misrakshus, and regarding all other punishments that are attempting to come and plague the Jewish people, kugoyin chichuch, for example, the scraping that someone has to scratch themselves, chagav, locust, zuv, flies, vitzira, and wasps, they sting people, the atushin and mosquitoes, what come into people's eyes and into their nostrils. Mishaluch nechashim akravim, and when Hashem sends snakes and scorpions. So loy hayu masrin, so they wouldn't scream out then. Elatzaykin, but rather they would scream. Now, from that the Gemara says, that sounds like the same thing, but meditza'aka bepeh, from the fact that we know that definitely the term of tzaykin, to scream out, means with one's mouth, Hasra b'shefaras, that must mean what we said regarding these things that we don't do masrin, must mean that's with a shefer. So obviously, screaming out with one's mouth is not qualified for hasra, because that's obviously the contrast of the terms that we're saying, that these things are not such great punishments. They wouldn't be masrin, but they would scream out with their mouth. So obviously we see masrin is not with one's mouth, and therefore we see it is with shefaras, which contradicts the one who says the masrin in general, not regarding Tain Sibur, means the tefillah of aneinu with one's mouth. So that the Gemara answers for that mandamar, that tanoihi, actually it's a machlokes tanoim. You're right, this tana that says regarding other punishments, that is definitely saying that tsa'aka with one's mouth is not considered hasra, but there is another mandamar that does say like that mandamar that it could mean tefillah, it could mean screaming out with one's mouth, aneinu. The tana like no braisa. Says, al elu masrin b'shabbos, regarding these things we scream out on Shabbos. They are, al ir shekifu, guys, regarding a city that's surrounded by troops that are laying siege to the city, a nahar, or a river that's overflowing and it's threatening to swamp the fields and the houses, val svina hamaterefes bayam, regarding a ship that's shaking back and forth and it looks like it's going to sink by the sea, So regarding these things, we are Masriyan. Now, Rabbi Yossi qualifies this halacha, and he says, it's only Li Ezra. It's only that the people could scream out, that other people could come help them, but not screaming out to Hashem in tefillah. Now, this is what the Gemara says, Pamai. Now, what exactly is Rabbi Yossi saying in explanation of this term that we're Masriyan on Shabbos for these things, that we can do them for Ezra, but not for Tzaka? Ilem b'shefar is, if you would think he's referring to doing it with a shayfer, well, shayfer is b'shabbos mishari, is it permitted to blow on shayfer and Shabbos? It's not. And therefore, when we're saying that we are masrin b'shabbos for these things, it obviously doesn't mean a shayfer. And lav ba'neinu, so it must mean it's in reference to aneinu. And v'kori la hasra, and we're calling it hasra, so shema minah, obviously from here we could see that when it said v'loy l'tz'aka, and not for screaming out, which that's qualifying the hasra, that was a reference to tefillah. Now, we said that, you could call out to other people. That is because they can come help, but we can't scream out in tefillah because we're not so confident that our tefillah is going to help. That should allow ourselves to scream out on Shabbos. But one thing that we do see is that tz'aka from peh, the qualification that the Braisa is discussing regarding these things that we're masriyin. So there's a machlekes is regarding what are we masri? Are we masri just to other people? Are we masri to even to Hashem? But one thing we see is that masriin is being done not with a shayfer, because in Shabbos we don't blow a shayfer. It's rather being done with one's mouth. And that is like the other opinion that holds masriin is with aneinu, like Rav had said. And therefore it's not a contradiction from the other brisa. You're right, the other brisa held it was only with a shayfer. But this Tana holds that's even with one's mouth. I think Mark Katin is regarding a topic that was mentioned in our Mishnah, which we had mentioned before, that there were 13 fasts that were the maximum amount of fasts that were geyser by Bezdin on the Jewish people when there wasn't rain, which was first a set of three, then another set of three, then a set of seven. So the Gemara brings a related incident that B'Shneider Behuda Nasiya, in the years of Rabbi Yehuda the prince, who is a grandson of the famous Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Havetzara. So there was a trouble by the Jewish people, and we continue on to Ahmed Beis. So Gazer Tlas Esrei Tanya, so he decreed 13 fasts, as the Mishnah tells us that there's three, first set of three, then the second set of three, then there's the later seven. Now, what was happening over here was not regarding rain, which is what our Mishnah is discussing. It was regarding some other punishment that was coming upon the Jewish people. V'loyani, however, the Jewish people were not responded. They weren't saved yet from that tsar. So he thought to continue decreeing fast days because up until they're answered with salvation. So Amri Rabami told him, he says, Hare Amru, what do you mean? They already said that Ema Trichin Eset Tzibur Yesem Yedai. We don't exert the public more than is necessary. And it's already enough. 13 fasts, we can't go ahead and impose upon them more fasts. Now Amr Baba Bered Rav Chir Bar Abba, he said that Rabami Da'avid, this said Rabami had done this, that he prevented him, he was telling him not to do more than 13 fasts. Ligarmehu Da'avid, he was really doing it for himself, and that is, he just didn't want to fast anymore, and that's why he was telling him this halacha. But rather, Elohochi Amr B'chir Ba'abim Riechen, but rather, this is exactly what the halacha was said in the name of Rabbi Yechina. Now, Loi Shanu, we didn't learn in our Mishnah that we don't make more than 13 fasts on the Jewish people. That was Elik Sham, that was only for rain. But regarding other punishments and tzaras that Jewish people have, which was what was happening over there in the days of Yehuda Nisiya, then they continue in fasting until they responded from heaven, and therefore he just didn't want to fast anymore. But really, the halacha is that we do continue fasting more than 13 fasts. The number 13 is only by the Tanisi Tzibur that they have regarding Gesham, regarding the rain. The Gemara says Tanah Halacha is similar in the Brice like this. Kishamru Shalish, when they said that there's three fasts, or Kishamru Shev, when they said there's seven fasts, in other words, when they had the groups of three, three, and then seven, Lo Yamru El Kisham, that was only said regarding the rain. Of Lasham and the Puranis, but regarding other punishments that are befalling the Jewish people, Mis'anu V'Holchan Hashi'anu. Then they continue fasting and going until they responded with salvation from Hashem. So the Gemara says, Limitav Tiyuti Rabami. So let's say this Braisa should be refutation of Rabami. He said that no, it's only up until 13, even not regarding rain. So this we see clearly not like him. So Rami will tell you, Tanoi, you're right, it's a Machlekes Tanoim. You're right, this Braisa is not like him. But he'll prove to you that there's another town that holds that you never do more than 13, even for any other tzar. The town like Linda Braisa. In Gezer Nyesi Mishloisha Suitani Salat Tzibur, we don't decree on the Jewish people more than 13 fasts. Lefisha Imatrichen Eset Tzibur Yesem Adai, because they can't exert the people more than what's necessary. Dibur Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Pshimim Lilamer, he says, No, that's not the reason why we don't go ahead and make more than 13 fasts because of tircha, because we don't want to exert the Jewish people. The reason why we don't do more than 13 fasts is because by the time 13 fasts are over, you already missed the first set of rains that come down. And that's because by the time those fasts are done, you already passed through Cheshvan and you're already into Kislev, and therefore you already passed the first rains, and therefore there's no more point anymore of having the fast because the time of that rain has already passed. Now, but one thing that we can infer from this machlekes in this brisa is that from Reb Shimon you see that even that regarding other types of punishments where its time is at any point in time, even more than 13 fasts, you're going to make that gezerah. And that it's just that he's saying that regarding rain, there's no point because it already passed. But if the time didn't pass, like a tzar that the Jewish people are still in, so then you continue fasting and fasting. But whereas from Rebbe, the first opinion we see that no, ematrichin, we never exert the Jewish people more than 13 fasts, which it would sound like that would be in all cases, not just in rain, because it's too much for them to handle. And therefore, Rabbi, we're saying that I hold like Rebbe, that no matter what the tzar is, we never impose upon the Jewish people more than they can handle, which would be a maximum of 13 fasts. Now the Gemara asks a general halacha regarding this discussion of the previous Mishnayos regarding saying the bakasha of a Saint Talamata that Hashem should give the rain and the dew, which we say in the Bracha Baruch Aleinu. The Gemara brings that Shalchulei b'nei Nineveh l'Rebbe. The people of the city of Nineveh sent to Rebbe the following question. They said, "Kegoyin anan, for example, us, that filu b'tkufis tamas be'in mitra, that even in the summer months, in the period of tamas, we need to have rain. So heichinavi, what should we do?" And that is, kichidim deminan, do we have the halachic criteria as individuals? Or do we have the halachic criteria of a public? As the Gemara explains, kichidim deminan, do we have the halacha like individuals? And therefore, b'shemei tefillah, we say our request for rain as an individual. If he requests, no matter what it is, which would include rain, he would request in the bracha of b'shemei tefillah, because although we say generally that she'ela, the request for rain, is in the bracha of birchas hashanim and baruch aleinu, that's regarding the tzibur. However, regarding a yachid, although yes, an individual when he's davening, he'll say it in Baruch Aleinu, but that's only when the tzibur is also saying it. But regarding something else, where it's only the individual that needs it, but the tzibur is not saying it, for example, like here in the summer months, where the tzibur doesn't say anymore v'sein talamater in the summer months, even though the people of Nineveh needed the rain, but they're going to say it as their own personal private bakasha and shemei tefillah, not in berachas Hashem, as Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah. When you have your own personal request that the entire Jewish people are not doing it, you put it on until shemei tefillah, where Hashem hears your prayer and your request, no matter what it is. So therefore, maybe we're not, most of the world doesn't need rain at that time. They only say it during the winter months. Therefore, we need it, maybe we should say it in shemei tefillah. Or they had, maybe we're like a public, and therefore we would say it in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, just like when a rabbin needs something, they say it in their appropriate bracha, in this case Baruch Aleinu, we would say it in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. So Shalach Luhu, so Rebbe sent to them, ki yechidin demisu, you the people of Nineveh are like individuals, you're not the entirety of the Jewish people, and therefore b'shemei tefillah, you would only say it v'sein talamot in the bracha of b'shemei tefillah. Now that the Gemara says meisve, but they asked a contradiction to this from a brice. Amr Behuda says, Eimasai, when is this, when we had qualified in all these previous Mishnayos, the whole order of the different fasts, which are 3 and 3 and 7, and all its halachas that come along with it, that's bizman shashan ketiknan. That's when the years are as they normally run, which is that the reaping is done in Nisan time, the planting is done in Cheshvan time, and that the order of the year is not changed of how it's supposed to be. And b'Yisrael shruin alad masam. The Jewish people are living in their land the way Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. Then, if there's no rain, at the 7th of Cheshvan and so on, then they make the order of the fast. Avlimana Zebu says, but in today's time, Hakar Lufi Hashanim, everything goes according to the year. And that is, if that year needs rain, for example, it's a very hot and sweltering year, then you need a lot more rain, then you'll add more of a Saint Talamater. Hakar Lufi Hamakayim, similarly, it's all according to the location. So, for example, Nineveh, where even in the Tkuva of Tamas, in the summer months, they need rain. So then they'll also request rain, and Hakar Lufi Hazman, everything according to their time. Where Rashi says not to be gairus, not to delete these words, because it can't be according to the time, because rain didn't come down yet. But one thing that we see from this brisa is that it seems like, not like Rebbe, that one should say B'sein Talmater if you're the people in Nineveh, in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, where we see that it's a different halacha. The halacha of requesting for rain goes according to the needs of the location, of the people, and therefore, since they need to have it, even in the summer months, that would seem like they should say B'sein Talmater in the bracha of Berchas Hashanah. So Amalei, so he responded to him, the one who was asking the question, Masnita Ramas Aleh the Rebbe, you're asking from a price on Rebbe? Rebbe Tana, who Pali? Rebbe's also Tana, and he argues, you're right, that price obviously argues and says, you say by Baruch Aleinu, but Rebbe responded to them that you say it in Shemiyat Tfilo, and therefore it's not a contradiction. So the Gemara asks, but my Havala, so what was the conclusion? Where would they say it? Are they like Yechidim and you say Shemiyat Tfilo, or are they like a Rab and you say it in Baruch Aleinu? So Rav Nachman Amar LaHalacha, Rav Nachman says, B'birchas Hashon, we say it in Baruch Aleinu, and Rav Sheshes Amar Shemiyat Tfilo, you say in Shemiyat Tfilo. The Gemara concludes is if certain community needs it, even in the summer months, they will not say it in Baruch Aleinu, rather they'll say it like individuals in the bracha of Shemiyat Tefillah. Now the Gemara continues explaining a Mishnah that said that the last set of fasts, which are the last seven, which are more stringent, there they have the B'sheni Matnim Chashecha. On Monday evening, when it's about to get dark, then they opened up the stores just a little bit, the doorway, so that people could quickly get food so they could eat at nighttime. And on Thursday, they would have it open the whole entire day for the honor of Shabbos so that people could buy Shabbos food on Thursday, and therefore they would have it open the whole entire day, not just by nighttime. Now, Ibailu, they had the following question, how exactly do we learn this halacha of the Mishnah? That is, Bebe's Matin, on Monday we said that we have it slightly open. That is, it's not closed, but it's not all the way open. And the reason is, since it's not for Kavod Shabbos on Monday, so therefore you only open it Im Chashecha when it's getting dark, and that is that people shouldn't see the whole entire day that the grocery store is open, and they're going to be hungry and seeing all that food that's there, so therefore you only open it at nighttime when it's about to get dark so that people could eat, because they would eat in the nighttime, although they would fast during the daytime. Ubehei, but on Thursday, then there would be Matin, Kol Yom they covered a Shabbos, then they would have it not all the way open the doorway, it would be slightly open, like it is on Monday by evening, but it wouldn't just be by evening time, it would be open the whole entire day so that you could buy food for Shabbos. It just wouldn't be all the way open, because again, we're having this sign of the fasting that we're in. Aydilmo, or maybe actually that it was entirely open the entire day. And this is what the Mishnah is saying. B'sheini Matin, on Mondays it would be only slightly open. But on Thursdays, it would be all the way open, the normal way, the way the doors are normally open for the store. Kaliyam Kulu, the entire day, because of the honor of Shabbos. So which one was it? We know on Monday that it was two criteria. It was only slightly open, and it was only open by nighttime. Question is regarding Thursday. Do we say Thursday was also only slightly open, it just was the entire day? Or was it both points? It was open all the way, and it was open the entire day. So that the Gemara says, Tashma come in here, the Tanlik. And the price, it says clearly, B'sheini Matin Ad Ha'ev, says that on Mondays it would be slightly open by the evening time. U'bachamishi Paischen Kaliyam Kulim Nekavar Shabbos, but on Thursdays it would be totally open the entire day because of the honor of Shabbos, and therefore the stores would have the doors wide open. Now, however, the Braisa does tell us that if there were two entrances, then Paisech Echad V'Noylech, then one would be open, but one would be closed, and that would be even on Thursdays. If there was benches that were in front of the entryway to the store, where now the store doesn't open straight open to the public arena of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and even if it is open straight, the doorway, but now you can't see it because the bench is blocking it, then Pesach Kedarka, then you could leave the door open as it normally is, even on Mondays. You don't have to be concerned because people are not seeing straight in because the benches are in the way, and therefore it's not a problem even on Monday to have the door wide open. Now the Mishnah then told us, if Avru Eilu B'lo Inenu, if let's say they did the first set of three fasts, then the second set of three fasts, then the last set of seven fasts, but V'lo Inenu, but they weren't answered yet, and rain didn't come yet, so M'maitin B'masu Matin, so they would diminish their commerce, U'b'binyan U'b'netiyah, and then with their buildings and with their plantings, they wouldn't fast anymore, but they would do much less of all these different things. So Tanu, we learned the Braisa that clarifies this halacha, that Bibinyan, when we said that they would diminish their building, it didn't mean a building that they needed. Rather, it meant specifically Binyan Shel Simcha, a building of rejoicing, because we're only diminishing things of joy because of the pain that we want to illustrate and demonstrate with the fact that there's no rain. Netiyah, similarly, when we said that they would diminish their planting, was only Netiyah Shel Simcha, would be a plantation of joy, but not things that they need for food. Now, Ezehu Binyan Shel Simcha, so the Gemara clarifies, what was a building of joy? This is someone that's building a house to make the chuppah for his son. And that they would diminish. Ezuhi netiyah shel simcha. What was a plantation of simcha that they would diminish? Zehanoiteya avarniki shel malachim. This is someone that was planting this avarniki of the kings. Now, that was that when the son was born to the king, they would plant a certain tree for his designation. Now, the day when then they would then make the son into the king, then they would make a chair, a throne, out of that tree, that's considered an atiyah shel simcha. Or Rashi brings another pshat. Avarnike is a term for a large tree, which then gives a lot of shade over the ground, where the king would then take a walk beneath that tree, similar to the Gemara in Erevin that says that the Rish Galusa had this avarnike in his bustani, in his field, where the reason why it was called the Malachim is because generally the kings had these trees that they would walk beneath it for the shade. And we're talking about such a person, if any regular person wanted to plant this type of tree, that would also be considered an atiyah shel simcha. That's something that we do less in these days after the last fast to show that we're having less simcha, and it's a way of having the tzar, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehar brachmanis on us, and give us the rain. Now, another thing that we said that we diminished was the b'shila shalom, extending a greeting to someone else, we would do less of that. So Talmud will learn the Braisa that Chaverim ain't She'ila Shalom Inein. Regarding the Talmud HaChacham, Talmudic scholars who follow the law, so they wouldn't greet each other, which was what the halacha was supposed to be. Ami Ha'aret She'shoilin, however, regarding the ignoramuses, that they don't know the halacha, they don't follow it, and they do ask, hey, how you doing? So the halacha is that the Talmud HaChacham should respond to their greeting. And the reason is because of Eva, which if it doesn't respond, to all these Talmid HaChachamim, he's going to have hatred to him. So you do respond. However, it should be b'safa rafa, it should be with a soft tone, or b'kavid reishim, with a heavy head, that, you know, it shouldn't be just like this type of response, like as if nothing's going on because of the tzara that Klai Yisrael is in. Now, v'hemis atvin v'yeshrin kavelim ukmenudin. Now, the Talmid HaChacham, the people at that time, they would cloak themselves. They would sit like mourners and like people that are excommunicated. And that's because actually an avil and someone that's in nida, that's excommunicated, is obligated in cloaking themselves. As the Pasuk says, Val Safam Yata, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Tzemayit Katan, that's how these people would be in this time when there's no rain. Kimne Adam Hanazuvan Lamakim, like people that are rejected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until their HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachmanis in them, has a concern about these people, they continue in acting in the state of mourning and excommunication until the rain comes. Now, however, the Gemara says that although that there was these minhagim of cloaking oneself and having tsar, but Amar Blasi says, Eidan v'chashe v'shoy lipol apanav, a respectable person is not allowed to fall on his face, in other words, to do nefilas apayim, to degrade himself in front of the tzibur, and the reason is because if he's not going to be responded to for his request that he's falling on his face for, so then they're going to degrade him and denigrate him and say that, look, he's davening to Hashem, and he's really not being answered. The only way you could is elim keinena, only if people know that he's so chashev that he's going to be responded to ki Yeshua ben Nun, regarding that he did nefilas abayim and he was responded to. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Yeshua, says v'yema Hashem el Yeshua. Hashem said to Yeshua, kum leich, get up and go. Lamazat and nefil apanecha, why are you falling on your face? Why are you doing nefilas abayim? That is, he was right away answered. So only then could a adam chashev do nefilas abayim. But if not, if he's not so guaranteed, then he shouldn't, because then people are going to be mevazim. Similarly, v'amir b'laza, another statement from b'laza, says, Eidan m'chashev rishai, a respectable person is not allowed to, lachker sak, to gird himself with a sackcloth, elm keinana, only if he knows that he's going to be responded to, ki yaharim ben achav. Which, in them, like it says, apostle Melachim Bey, it says, v'hi chishmaya ha-melech as devir isha. When the king Yaharim heard the words of the woman, that he heard the extent of how far the hunger was, v'yikre es bagadav, he tore his clothing, v'u'ayv ha-lachim, and he went by the wall, v'yaharim, and the people saw, v'hine ha-saka basar v'goyim, and the sackcloth was on his flesh. Now, although Yaharim was a wicked person, but he fasted regarding the hunger that was in his days, and he was answered, as the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, says that a sa' of flour was for a shekel, and a sa' of barley was of two sa' of barley was for a shekel, which means a very cheap the price. Means say he was successful in this tefillah, so such a person could wear a sackcloth like Yehoram did, but if you're not guaranteed, then one shouldn't go ahead and wear the sackcloth as a public display. Similar halach of Amar Belazar again. Lo hakol, not everybody is responded to from Hashem, b'kriya, with tearing their clothing. V'lo hakol b'nefila, and not everyone is responded to with falling on their face. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, that Yeshua and Kalev, that weren't as chashev as Moshe and Haran, they didn't merit to be answered with their request, only they needed to rend their garments. As the Gemara explains, Moshe and Haran b'nefila. Moshe and Haran, they merited for their request to be heard with just falling on their face. Yeshua called it Bikri, but they required even further that to actually tear their garments. As the Gemara explains, Moshe and Aaron ben Nefila, where we find is that Moshe and Aaron fell on their face. So like says the pasuk in Midbar, says Vayipol Moshe and Aaron upanim, that they were worried about what the Jewish people were doing, so they fell on their face. Yeshuva kol bekri, but they needed to rip their clothing. So like it says over there, it says Yeshua, it says ben Nun bekol ben Yefuna kar bigdayim. Like it says over there in Bamidbar Yudalid, the next pasuk says that they tore their clothing. So we see that not everyone gets responded to according to that. Some people have to do something, a greater action, to be responded to. Now, in that masculine Reb Zeira, some say it was Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini, Ihav k'siv Yeshua, you write Reb Elazar, if it would have said without a vav, it would have just said Yehoshua, so then Kedikame would have been like what you were saying, that's what Moshe and Aaron did, that's what Yeshua and Kalib did. But Hashlech k'siv v'Yehoshua, but now that it says, afterward it says v'yipol, that Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, then it says v'Yehoshua, that Yeshua and Kalev, that, and then we know that a vav is a connector, which means to say that it connects to what the first pasuk was saying, is actually havaha oven. Actually, they did both, because the v'Yehoshua connects them to the yipol, that means Yeshua and Kalev, they fell on the face, and they tore their clothing, so it's not just that they tore their clothing, they actually did both, falling and tearing. A similar statement, v'amir b'lazer, says, lo ha'kol b'kima, not everyone will merit to greet the Jewish people in the future, when the Jewish people will have merited to vanquish their enemies, not everyone will merit to greet them standing up. Not everyone will merit to meet them bowing down. As the Gemara explains, Malachim Mekima, the kings will be standing up to greet the Jewish people. But the princes, the noblemen, they will be bowing down. As we find Malachim Mekima, the kings will be standing up. Just so like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Koyim Hashem, so Hashem says, Goyul Yisrael Kadoshai, the redeemer of the Jewish people and the one that is their holiness. We continue on top of Tezvav Men Aleph. Livzoi Nefesh, for the Jewish people that are degraded. Limisoyev Goy, for the despicable one amongst the nations. Le'evid Moishlim, for the people that even have slaves ruling over them. Malachim Yerubukamu, the kings will see and they'll stand up. They'll merit to see the Jewish people in their glory in a standing position. But Besar Mishtachavoya, but the princes, they'll be bowing down. The chassid, like it says over there, sar mishtachavu, that the noblemen, they'll be bowing down. They won't merit to see them in a standing up position, but rather bowing down. Now again, maskeler Reb Zeira beitim, and some say Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini says ihav k'siv v'sar mishtachavu. If it would have said with above in this case, and the princes will bow down, so then you could amr. That would sound like what you're saying, that they will do like this and they will do like that. But hashdech k'siv sar mishtachavu. But here that it says without above. Havaha, but it sounds like actually that they're doing both, where that's what the pasuk sounds like that it's saying, is that the kings are going to be standing up, yiruvukamu, sarim v'yishtachavu, which sounds like that it's actually that they're going to be doing both, and it's not just that they'll be that bowing down, they'll be standing and bowing down. Now the Gemara concludes with a similar type of halacha. Amar of Nachama Yitzchak, he says, Afani Yimer, says, I also say a similar type of a drasha. Lo hakol la'ira, not everybody merits light, not everybody merits joy, and that is tzaddikim lo'er, the righteous merit the light, v'yisharim l'simcha, and the upright merit joy. Tzaddikim lo'er, we find that the righteous merit light, the chassid says the pasuk in Tehillim, or zeru al tzaddik, the light is sown, is planted for the righteous. V'yisharim simcha, and that for the upright, they merit joy, the chassid says there at the end of that pasuk, v'yishri lev simcha, and that for the upright of the heart, one will merit joy, and therefore it's only for tzaddikim to get ayra, and the yishri, uli yishri leiv, and the upright of heart, they get simcha. Hanu lach me'emesai, we shall return to you the first perek, Masechtas Tainis, perek me'emesai.